You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Hello, Inside the Locker listeners. This is Logan, the producer. This week's episode was unfortunately almost lost due to some technical difficulties. Thankfully, we were able to recover it. The bad news is that the discussions all are for last week's games. So you're going to hear us talk about the previous week of NFL, as well as kind of some lead-ins, talking points for this past weekend's college games. The good news is that you'll be able to hear how wrong we were in everything that we discussed. But it's still a fun episode. In fact, we'll just call this the lost episode. And I think it's worth listening to. But so apologies and enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Inside the Locker podcast. My name is Ramon Ramirez. With me, the gang, Adam Charles in the building.
Hi guys.
Hide and seek champion.
Hide and seek champion, Adam Charles, who is a good friend of the pod and a good buddy of ours, but he's just been like super busy and he's got other stuff. So the running joke is that he's here, but he's not here.
I sort of like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
But here's who's actually in the house. Elliot Fontanette.
How y'all doing?
JC DeLeon.
What up, what up?
Logan Urie.
That is me.
Hey, my name is Ramon Ramirez, and we are Inside the Locker. You can follow us on ITLCast. The theme tonight is Logan and I have had a stressful week of work, and we, you know, that happens to all of us. And
like you do.
Like you do. And because we've had a stressful week of work, and because it is Thursday night, and we've been drinking a lot, I've been drinking, and full disclosure, I've been drinking since 11:37
a.m.
consistently. I went to Starbucks. I got a seasonal latte. I got the chili latte, and I drank about half of it, and then I poured some Jameson into it.
Yeah,
and then just started from there, and then have been steamrolling all day. Look, football season's back, and I am so tingly inside. I am so happy.
Is that why you're tingly inside?
I'm tingly inside. It's pretty exciting. So we're gonna talk a little football. We're gonna have some fun. But the theme tonight is that what you have to keep in mind is that Logan and I have been drinking. Heavily, not like we're always drinking a little bit. We're always having a beer after work. Logan and I have been heavily drinking, and because of that, that's kind of a disclaimer.
It's an after school special of
so this is our blue one. This is our blue Christmas.
Figure a lot of lessons will be taught about drinking. Me about gambling,
drinking, friendship.
I'm gonna say a lot. I'm gonna be cursing a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of cursing.
Elliot curses a lot. I gamble. I gamble maybe too much.
So that's our disclaimer.
You bet on the Bills, man.
So yeah, I guess we should start with that. So as we're recording, the Buffalo Bills are playing the New York Jets, and you know you don't have to be a football fan to know that the Buffalo Bills are not very good at football.
That just sounds like a bad game.
Why did you bet on the Buffalo Bills tonight? And what exactly did you bet?
I bet on the Bills. They're a 1.5 point underdog, so I took the points and the under, which is 40.5. Couple reasons for the trends. Thursday night home teams typically cover. That's sort of been the trend all of last season.
Yeah.
Because the games are typically low scoring. Home team usually covers because you've had a short week of practice. The football is not going to be very good.
Love it.
That was really all the rationale that went into it.
And why the hell not? Fuck the Jets. Fuck the Bills.
Rex Ryan 2-0 against the Jets. Yeah.
That's pretty. I didn't know that. That's good.
Rex Ryan's still alive.
And you know, it's funny because now that you mention that,
him and his brother.
I thought him and Chris Christie just merged.
I'm in one of those NFL pools where you have to make picks every week.
Yeah.
Just like last year and every year before that, I forgot the Thursday game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already down one. God damn it.
Well, that just goes to show you the Thursday game is a bit unnatural.
Yeah.
It's like I liked my progression when it was high school Friday, college Saturday. NFL Sunday, and then one last game as a sort of a Dumont.
Yeah,
on Monday.
That's what I'm saying.
I kind of like the eliminator challenges, and my only real strategy with them is to, from week one, always pick the Browns opponent and see how long I can ride that out.
I love that.
Yeah.
Cleveland
That's
is
That's fucking sad. I like the Browns, man.
I know, and we have a Browns fan who's like, who yelled at us on Twitter.
I know.
And I just made another Browns joke, so I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, thanks for listening.
Listen, I'm sorry, Browns fan again.
I'm not. Keep listening.
Thank you for listening. Now, it's funny. Let's talk about Ohio for 1 second. My one of my best friends in the world, Jeremy Hurd, moved to Cleveland in eighth grade, and we were close enough that my parents were like, hey, man, you want to go visit Jeremy for a summer? So I got to spend the summer of 1999 and 2000 in Cleveland. And I had an amazing, wonderful time. At the time, Cleveland was kind of like back. Drew Carey show was popping off. You could go down to the flats and check out all these nice bars and stuff.
Penny, get down.
And that's my dog, Penny, in the background. She's trying to get this leftover Chinese food. So like, I had an opportunity to hang out in Cleveland for a total of about 6 weeks over two summers. And great time, except that we went to an Eminem concert. Actually, so shit, that was 99, 2000. And then in 2002, I got to go back as a high schooler. Anyway, so we went to go see Eminem. We went to the Anger Management Tour. Which featured Exhibit, Eminem, Papa Roach, The Executioners, and Eminem. And the people were horrible. Like, just...
Well, you're at a Papa Roach and Eminem concert.
Yeah, I mean, they were just so mean and so... I got called a sand N-word a few times. It was...
That sounds about right.
It was a bad scene. And I remember thinking, fuck Cleveland. And since then, I've actively rooted against Cleveland. Here's my other Cleveland sports story. I was in Boston. I was talking to a New England Patriots fan who was a bartender. And this was a very gross Irish place. And the dude was tatted up and, like... pretty hard-edged, and he was like, man, every year I go see the Pats on the road once a year, and I've been to every stadium, and I've seen fans from everywhere, and everyone's pretty cool, but you know what place sucks? Cleveland. And he was, and this is his story, he goes, whatever you do, never, and he was a hard guy, he was the kind of guy where, like, if the Patriots were playing the Cowboys, and I'm a Cowboys fan,
you ain't gonna say shit.
I wouldn't want to say shit, I wouldn't want to sit next to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, I went to the Cleveland stadium, and I was wearing my Pat stuff, and I went to the bathroom, and everybody was drunk and, like, yelling at me. They pinned me down, beat me up, and peed on me.
Oh, somebody's going to die.
So the lesson there is don't go to Cleveland as a visiting sports fan.
Well, that explains why Trump is on 5 now.
I apologize to all of our Cleveland fans out there.
At Big Evil 895, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but that story explains why Trump is up 5 right now in Ohio.
Oh, well, we're going to talk politics now, aren't we?
Also, Alyssa Z, I apologize to you too. She's my number one Cleveland fan in my life.
I have so many friends in Ohio, and shout out to Jenny, who's one of my good friends, who's from Ohio. Well, like, but who doesn't listen to the podcast and never will hear this? But okay, so now you're talking the state of Ohio, Donald Trump. We're 50-ish days out from the election. Yep. Donald Trump is going to win Ohio, isn't he?
No. What happens is when, and I'm just joking, but
Donald Trump is going to win the election.
President
Trump.
What happens in polls, especially when your candidate that you support has a bad run, especially when it's close, people are less likely to answer the poll. So Hillary Clinton fainted on last Sunday. She's had a lot of bad news. So a lot of people just probably didn't answer.
Yeah.
And like, here's the thing. There's about 7% of the nation, 7 to 10 that are just easily swayed just on how they feel that day. Mm-hmm. And so it's all going to come down to whoever can win the first debate and the last debate.
Yeah.
Is going to win.
You think so?
And I think, I think Hillary Clinton could lose the first two debates, win the last one and still win. Cause that's how fundamentally she is ahead. People are just freaking out a little bit right now.
Well, I think there's good reason to freak out because what you're seeing, the thing that really got me today is that 18 to 24-year-olds are not feeling any real connection to Clinton the way they do to Obama, and that's because 18 to 24-year-olds don't really remember the Clintons.
They don't remember the Bush years either.
Well, sure, but they see this old lady, and they think, she's out of touch, she's a liar, email scandal, whatever. And because her strategy coming out of the conventions was to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
And just let Donald Trump piss all over his balls. And
he stopped pissing on his balls.
And, well, he didn't necessarily stop, but he decided to pivot and relentlessly attack Clinton on all sorts of absurd things, like the fact that is she even physically fit to be the president? And all of a sudden, that's the dominating narrative. If you don't like what they're saying, change the conversation. That's what he did, and now Clinton is in big trouble. To the point where...
She's not in big trouble.
Well, here's why she is in big trouble. Okay. Because we know for a fact that in the last few days, the DNC got together and was like, are we going to have to, like, swap in a candidate or what? What are we going to do?
Where did you read that?
That's true.
I'm saying there's a lot of, like, concern trolling that goes on.
There is concern trolling, but what I'm saying is, I think what you said is lucky, is that there's a lot of momentum. And right now, about a month ago, what the dominant narrative was like, man, that guy is a loon. He should not be president. And now what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of, like, political babies who are like, I like Gary Johnson. I want to vote my conscience.
No, Gary Johnson is taking a lot from Clinton right now.
And then you're seeing not enough enthusiasm. I mean, that's the thing, right? It's like when you play not to – it's just like sports.
Yeah, you can't play not to lose.
When you play not to lose
– sports!
When you play not to lose, that's when you lose. When you want to hold possession. Like anyone who – you know what it was? After this summer, it was the third quarter of the game, and it was 28-14. And Clinton got conservative on the play calling, and she punted twice. And now it's 28-I'd say it's 28-26 if we're talking football terms.
Yeah.
And 538 is giving Clinton, a 2-3 chance. But it shouldn't even be that close at this point. Because, again, a month ago we were saying, is Texas even going to be Republican?
But here's the thing. He's only up by, I think, 3 in Texas.
Mm-hmm. But he is up by 5 in Ohio. And Ohio you got to build around Ohio.
But here's the thing. That's based on old narrative. If you look at the path to victory.
But that's based on this week's polls. Oh, please continue.
No, it's okay. I'm saying if you look at the path to victory, Virginia and Colorado are locked down. Michigan's not going anywhere. He's not going to win Pennsylvania. He could win Ohio, Florida, Nevada, shit, Maine, and he'd still lose. Mm. Fundamentally, like, here's the thing. All this stuff for websites and news outlets, it's great horse race stuff. It's like, oh, this report on the – it's not a good story. Nobody's going to pay attention. Yeah. Clinton's ahead slightly less than before.
Yeah.
We got to wait for the debate to see what's going to happen. Nobody's going to tune in. Now, man, Trump's up 5 in Ohio. Ohio has gone to every presidential candidate since 1964.
Right.
That's what you sell. Like, you remember the night of the 2012 election? I'll never forget the rest of my life. When Ohio got called for Obama and Karl Rove had a shit fit. He was like, against the people at Fox News.
That was when the lady on Fox News like went to that other room.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I remember.
He's like,
that.
No, that's not right. And it's like, you're on Fox News, you fucker. You think they're really going to call it for Obama? What's your fucking problem?
Yeah.
All right. So that's enough of the political horse race. All of this to say that, yeah, at this moment,
but that's a good
I'm
point.
Nervous. Go out there and vote.
But that's a good point, though.
For Hillary
Clinton. You say sports, though.
I'm gonna eat
that's
these
part
chips.
Of the problem with our discourse.
Okay, I won't eat them on the
is
mic.
Is that people view politics these days as a sports team. Because you got 40% of the nation that, on each, you got 80% of the nation, 40% on each side that will vote for the Democrat or Republican regardless because that's their team. Period.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
I'm rooting for them no matter what because I'm a.
Yeah. It's not evaluated. It's just, that's my team. I don't care if Trump, you know, has ties to organized crime, has ties to Russia, didn't rent to black tenants. Like, just, I can, like, the list goes on.
Yeah.
None of that matters because he's a Republican, ostensibly.
Politics fans need bandwagon fans.
He says
fans.
He is.
They're all, yeah, exactly, bandwagon.
Yeah, sports doesn't need bandwagon fans, but politics
does. Like, the only fans worse
sports
than.
Sports fans love a winner.
The only fans worse than political fans are the Patriots fans. Yeah. Those are the worst fans.
all right, so let's talk football a little bit. I want to talk a little bit, I wanted to talk actually about the Patriots because it's an interesting situation. So right now, I backed up. Pats, with Jimmy Garoppolo, no Tom Brady for 4 games, go into Arizona week 1 and manhandle
some work.
The Cardinals, a team that was heavily projected to make the Super Bowl, right? So they do that, and Colin Cowherd said this on Monday, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like a franchise quarterback.
He looked really good.
He looks like a quarterback that plays with Belichick.
He checked all the boxes, okay? So I want to ask you a question. You be Robert Kraft and you be Bill Belichick. And for the purposes of this podcast, you know, same guys, right? Guys in power who make the decisions.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo just went 4-0 as a starter. What do you do?
You bench him.
No. I mean long term.
I'm playing Belichick. Yeah.
You got 39-year-old Tom Brady. You got Jimmy Garoppolo that everyone is going to try and trade for. And you have an expiring contract where you know you don't have the luxury of saying you're, because Garoppolo is not going to be like, yeah, I'll come back next year and I'll sit behind Brady. He's going to say, yeah, the Chicago Bears just offered me X amount of money.
I'll start with Belichick.
Yeah.
The players in my system, for the most part, don't matter. Mm. So let him leave. If he wants to leave, he can leave and get paid. That's not going to be your money paying him, but he won't sniff a championship the same way he could get one here. He can decide whether he wants money or he wants money and championships. And if he doesn't want championships, we don't want him.
As long as I am the owner of this franchise.
Oh, God.
Touchdown Tommy is our guy.
Yeah. So we're in agreement.
I love that. So okay, so that but that's going to be really interesting because they're going to have to either be prepared to walk away from Garoppolo or trade him or move away from Brady. So basically you have to either trade him this year or be prepared for him to take major money elsewhere. And so is he worth a first round draft pick?
Cuz yeah, the interesting thing about it is Garoppolo is in a place where he can command a lot of money whether he stays or whether he goes. And Robert Kraft is pretty much only in a position where he could give Tom Brady a lot of money, but he can only really only give him X amount of money because he's 38 years old.
He'll be 39. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, it actually, knowing Belichick, this fits better for his model to just leverage him and trade him as best he can.
Yeah.
To like shore up the defense. Or
he did that with, you know, Ryan Mallett, who proved to be about as useful as Diet Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is going to be all up to Belichick, though, because even on the same show, Cowherd said that he knows when to cut the cord of these guys. Like, they haven't been haunted by an ex-player
ever.
Yeah, Chandler Jones had one sack against him.
Richard Seymour was a productive player, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, Darrell Revis got eaten up by AJ Green.
Yeah, what's interesting is, like, you can, you know, like, this is my point, but this is what one of my favorite things about Belichick is that he'll go, because it's not as simple as trading a guy or keeping a guy. There's also trading a team that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so being like, all right, Barkevious Mingo, we're just going to deal with you, and I don't care because the Cleveland Browns suck. Or, yeah, Richard Seymour, I'm going to send you to Oakland. The Raiders don't matter. I'm not worried about that. Ryan Mallett, sure, yeah, go to Houston, dude. Yeah, that's cool. I'm not worried about that. And so it is amazing how he's able to game that.
And it's something I think Saban picked up from him because I was watching The Herd, and he said something very interesting, is that the old coach of University of Washington, Steve Sarkisian, is like an offensive consultant for Alabama. Mm-hmm. But thinking about it, if you think about LSU's, sort of standpoint this year, where they might be looking for a new OC or even a new head coach, maybe Saban got Sarkisian just to put him in his pocket so that he couldn't come into the conference.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's picked that move up from Belichick.
Wow, I love it. Do you guys want to talk about Dak Prescott or college football first?
What's the difference?
We can talk about that.
I'm going to say Dak.
Let's talk a little Dak. All right.
Well, because one of the things I want to talk about that game, people were freaking out about the way Terrence Williams didn't step out of bounds, but it would have been like a 62-yard field goal. So I don't really think he's the
number goal. Number one, we're not talking about Terrence Williams. We're talking about Dak Prescott.
Right.
We're
talking about Dak Prescott.
I know.
All right.
Sorry, I'm just
letter grade for Dak Prescott on a report card rookie debut, threw the ball 45 times, completed 50% of his passes, made Cole Beasley and Jason Witten the most targeted players, two of the top five most targeted players in the NFL. What letter grade do you give Dak Prescott? I'm gonna say D. He gets a failing grade. He gets a D.
Yeah, I give him a C.
I say he gets a passing C for no turnovers.
He gets a passing C for no turnovers, and he gets but you grade him on the curve of him being a rookie who didn't fuck up too much. But if you grade him as an NFL quarterback, what you see is someone who doesn't throw the ball deep well and can't really go downfield and has everything handed to him.
Are you talking about sex or football?
Talking about Prescott.
I'm saying
so you have giant offensive line, a lot of time, a lot of weapons. And the most concerning thing is that you can't get the ball to your biggest weapon, Dez Bryant. And you can blame offensive coordinator Scott Linehan a little bit for that. You can say, you know, we're not giving him these curls and slants, and we're not moving him around on the field. We're not doing enough to get Dez the ball. But what you're ultimately seeing is when you have Dez in the red zone, an NFL quarterback is able to drop back and throw a fade into the corner of the end zone, mm-hmm. and Dez eats that up every time.
Yeah.
And the ball is constantly inside Dez. So I'm not seeing enough NFL accuracy for me to feel good about Dak Prescott going forward
right.
on this Dallas Cowboys team. And what I am seeing is, you know, I'm seeing a big, burly dude who can play, but who isn't good enough to be the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he's a rookie. Like Dante Culpepper without as good an arm.
Yeah, Dante Culpepper. Culpepper had a deep. I mean,
Culpepper could throw deep.
That's a great parallel to draw because you're talking about big, burly dudes who in college carried their team.
Yeah.
Who need to have a gun for an arm to just chuck it. And if Prescott was playing with Moss as a rookie, it'd be the same problem where you're just not able to deliver the ball to your biggest weapon. And that's a huge problem because he can't go downfield. You know, you're seeing a lot of screens, a lot of short passes, and you're seeing someone who, from the time he says down, said Hutt, even with one-on-one single coverage because the Giants committed to load up the box and rush Dallas, Prescott couldn't deliver the ball deep. And if you get him moving, get him on the run, put pressure on him, it's even less accurate. So I didn't like what I saw, and I'm doubly upset because he played like a backup quarterback. He was in the exact same situation he was. Now you can say, sure, he's a rookie, sure, he can develop, and there's things that you can improve on. And that's totally true. Poise, I loved it.
Yeah.
Character, you can tell that the players want to play with him, but if you're not NFL accurate, you're Matt Leinart, you're Vince Young, that's a problem. And I'm calling it right now, Dak Prescott will never be the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And he's going to join a long list of players like Tony Banks and Anthony Wright and Clint Sterner and Drew Hutchinson and all those motherfuckers that played for the Cowboys after Troy Aikman retired.
Quincy
Carter. He may be the best of those guys, but he's not the next Dallas Cowboys franchise quarterback.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. It's like what you just said, though, by saying your own argument. Mm-hmm. Everything you said that he was good at, you can't improve. You either have it or you don't.
Exactly. But the problem is NFL accuracy.
No. I was talking about the poise.
But we knew that.
No, the poise, the respect. But NFL accuracy and throwing strength, I feel like that's something you can coach. You can't coach poise and under stress.
You cannot coach NFL accuracy. And that's the problem. You absolutely can. You either have it or you don't. That's why Drew Brees got a job, even though he was a short dude built like a fucking, you know, Silicon Valley employee. What Dak has is he's a gamer, and that's what I like about him. He commands respect. He's a leader. He's not stupid. He doesn't melt it down, and he's not gonna fucking make mistakes. When you're that kind of a player, you can be John Kitna. You can have a long, fruitful career in the NFL.
But you're not gonna be. I see what you're saying.
But when you can't throw a deep, beautiful ball, like you saw Carson Wentz make in his NFL debut, like you saw Derek Carr make, when you can't do that...
When you can't throw people open.
Yeah. When you can't do that, you can't be a franchise quarterback in the modern NFL.
And he never had to demonstrate that in college. And he demonstrated that he wasn't an accurate quarterback in college. And so, yeah, that's going to translate to the next level.
I think you're right. You know, sometimes you are what the scouts say you are. The reason Dak was a fourth-round draft pick was because scouts were like, look, he's a senior, he's a good leader. He's got a lot of the characteristics, but we just don't think the arm strength is there. We just don't think the ball is there.
Is there any way to improve that?
When it's about it's not about, you know, can you hit the gym and throw it fast and hard. It's about can you make the read over the middle and can you throw it deep?
No, but I'm saying, I agree, but what I'm saying is, like, is there any way to, like, Rocky IV the shit out of this? And just go into the woods somewhere with like a big ass field and a bunch of dimes hit dimes.
If you can pull a tractor, just running through the snow.
Like I want a fucking montage. So that's what I want. Yeah, that's right, Logan. I'm screaming.
Dak may be the next Wade Wilson, the next Jason Garrett, the next long term backup that you feel good about because he can come in and the players like him and he can spark plug the team. But
he's not going to be the guy.
I see. You can't be the guy when you the second you saw Matt Leinart play, the second you saw DeMarcus Russell play, the second you you either have that particular characteristic or you don't. And when you don't and you have to make up for it in other ways, then all of a sudden there's tape on you. And when there's tape on you, then they figure out what you're doing.
It catches up with you. I completely agree, actually. You know, at first I thought you were saying he wouldn't be at least above average quarterback. But he's never – I sort of see what you're saying. He's not going to be a Cam Newton. Like Cam, I remember the day I realized how good Cam Newton was. It was Auburn playing LSU, and Patrick Peterson was chasing his ass down.
Yep.
Almost had him, and Cam Newton turned on an extra fucking gear, and he got out of nowhere and just burned Patrick Peterson.
And Cam Newton was the number one overall pick in the 2011 draft, you know, like just, because he, you know, with Cam, it was, okay, he can do all of these things.
Mm-hmm. And so there is a difference. It's a step where it's like, I see what you're saying. Like, you can't train that step. You either have it at that point or you don't.
And I just don't think he does. And it's not just me saying that. It's NFL scouts saying that, which is why he slipped to the fourth round. No,
you're right.
Can he kind of like Tyrod? Because even Tyrod Taylor, who got an extension in August and is playing tonight with the Buffalo Bills, you know, we don't know if he's good. We don't know if he has the poise. We don't know if he can really, really survive an NFL season. He's only 6 feet. But we do know that he can throw a deep ball.
Well, I mean, it all goes back just to God, how much of the NFL is an illusion to these players. Because, I mean, every year they have people who might be better than you coming up wanting your job. So, and the fans who so say loved you, man, the minute they pick somebody better than you, fuck you. Like, you're just gone. I don't care. Like, Jamarcus Russell, when he was drafted, it's like, oh, my God. Then he's just – but Jamarcus Russell was lazy from what I remember. He just wouldn't even fucking practice.
Right.
Like, he put on, like, what, 30 pounds in training camp?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, you have to – is he eating mayonnaise and Velveeta sandwiches?
Even Lawrence Phillips rumored to have brought water bottles to practice with vodka in them.
God. Who didn't he, like, die in jail recently?
He recently died.
Let's show some respect. Okay, let's not shit on the guy who died.
Okay, well, I'm kidding. Speaking of showing respect, though, I want to segue just real quick. And
all right.
Ramon might get up because I'm sort of segueing off. Who here thought it was fucking outrageous what happened? Because I do. What happened to Cam Newton last Thursday?
Right. For those that don't know, I'm glad you brought that up. We should probably mention that. Okay. A lot of really blatant blows to the head. A lot of dirty playing by the Denver linebackers. And Cam Newton, and you know, because he's a big, burly black man,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people felt that had he been, you know, Drew Brees, they would have called roughing the passer at least twice. I think that's probably fair. I think because Cam Newton is such a big, strong guy, he definitely got graded on a different curve, and he took some nasty shots. Well, so but guess
purposeful
what?
Purposeful shots.
Purposeful. He's going to be seeing that all season. Yeah. He's got a target on his back, just like Colin Kaepernick, just like any number of prominent African American athletes who.
People
drew the parallels to like the way Shaq and LeBron are officiated. Like they take a lot of abuse and they don't get a lot of calls their way.
Yeah. And I, you know what? And honestly, that sometimes doesn't bother me as much because there's a point where you just got to like, this is my lot in life. I got to deal with it. But this is something that could fuck him up for life.
Right? Yeah, it sucks.
Like, this is beyond, just you're going to have to walk that off. This is, you might just kill yourself later.
Mm-hmm. I can see there being a benefit of the doubt with the shots that are maybe half a second too late. But, like, the direct head-to-head shots, those should be called every time. And it's a travesty that they're not.
You saw one of the linebackers, like, line it up. You could see him go, I need to move here and then launch with his helmet first.
Right, yeah, it's bad. So who wants to talk about college football?
Yeah, LSU won. All is right with the world. All right.
They were bound to sometime.
All right.
Hey, don't say true shit.
There's a million things we can talk about. There are a million things we can talk about when it comes to college football because there's so many narratives. I just want to go through some of the big boy games, some of the big daddy games that should get you excited to watch sports. All right. First and foremost, Clemson, the number two team in the country, led by Heisman Trophy candidate Deshaun Watson, has not looked good, has barely gotten out of its games, looked in trouble against Troy, playing its rivalry game, South Carolina State. So.
Such a stalwart.
Well, hey, the Gamecocks, man.
Is it South Carolina State or South Carolina?
The
Gamecocks of South Carolina.
Oh, they're playing South Carolina State.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So
it's a totally different thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to sit here and talk about Will Muschamp turning his program around, but it's a very similar logo. Very similar logo.
Yeah.
It's a S with – it's a burgundy S. You also have to keep in mind that I'm pretty lit. South Carolina State. All right, let's not talk about that game. The matchup predictor on ESPN says 99.7% chance of Clemson to win that game.
Yeah, so Vegas isn't even taking action on that game.
We're going to do a hard pass on that one. Let's talk, though, this is an exciting game. There's some biggies this week. Florida State, number 2 in the country, traveling to number 10 Louisville Saturday at 11 a.m. Now, Louisville has looked dominant, has looked like it's got top-line athletes across the board. They've absolutely blown out players. Florida State has Heisman Trophy candidates, has a freshman quarterback that's looking unbelievable. Do you see an upset alert here for Florida State on the road?
I still think that Louisville is a dark horse national championship contender. So I could absolutely see them winning this game. Where is it? Is it in Florida or is it
in Louisville?
In Louisville. Well,
Florida State's only a 1.5-point favorite. Ooh.
I could definitely see Louisville winning this game outright.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad you stuck to your guns because a couple weeks ago on the podcast, you said that Louisville was your dark horse pick to get to the title game. You want to get to the title game, you win some big boy games. This is it.
Yes.
How about Appalachian State playing another ranked team, playing number 25 Miami?
Probably
not going to play that, but I mean, it's amazing that they play this many ranked teams all the time.
I like Florida State to win. I think too much talent, but I'd love to see Louisville do it at home. And what's great is, you know, the 11 a.m. Central game, the noon Eastern game.
Ugh.
It's always a Big Ten matchup. Seems to invariably feature Penn State, and oh, it is so boring. I hate that school. Because not only are you, like, full of fans who defend Joe Paterno, but, like, you guys suck. And I don't like watching your games. And I don't enjoy it.
Well, they shouldn't be playing football.
Agreed.
Period.
Agreed. Right. It should be, like, this should be the last year of their suspension, and then we move forward. All this to say, hey, Louisville, we get to watch you guys at 11 a.m. So that'll be sweet. Good game to start drinking with. So guess what? and you get Miami Appalachian State. So if that game gets good, you can kind of go 2 TVs, 2 monitors in the home stretch. And then you get the CBS Afternoon Showcase SEC game. Obama traveling to Ole Miss. Mm. A lot of talent.
It's going to be a good one.
No, it's not. Bama's going to win.
For those folks that don't follow college football, Ole Miss is like the new money of the league.
Yeah.
The, like, you know that there'll probably be a documentary about all of the backhanded
shit. There's a bunch of shady shit.
Shady things that happen there, but at this point in time, they are a team that has comically good talent on every position across the board and is good enough. Now, they're not well enough coached to actually upset Alabama, but they have in recent years. So all of a sudden, you got number one Alabama team that dismantled USC and looked unstoppable and inevitable on upset alert on the road against Ole Miss.
And they might already be in Nick Saban's head because even though Alabama was blowing out their opponent last week, he was already freaking out the way that Alabama ended that game, and the reason why is because he wanted that team to be focused for the next game, which was this game. So they might already be in his head.
Well, it was funny. Somebody was like, oh, you had a discussion with Lane Kiffin. He was like, that wasn't a discussion. That was a chewing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Let's call this segment, now that it's football season, the tailgate something, because this is where we basically go through what you're going to do Saturday. The
tailgate is fine with
the
me.
The tailgate. We'll just call it...
the tailgate's owned by Good Bull Hunting, so we can't...
Let's call it tailgating with friends. How about tailgating... how about tailgating with your wife? That's what we're going to call it.
How about we just workshop it and just, we'll figure it out later.
Tailgating with your wife. So...
Quick thoughts on the last game of the top 25 Texas Cal.
Okay. We're not there yet. What we're doing with this segment is called tailgating with your wife. Okay. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just basically set up the whole day. So like the hook is like you're tailgating with your buddy's wife and like all day you guys are watching TV. So also at 2:30 Central.
Yeah, let's end that story.
Oregon and Nebraska. Okay. Two like storied programs. This is the kind of game where a couple of years ago with Chip Kelly, you go, oh, man, Oregon's going to run them out of the building. But all of a sudden, Oregon, ranked number 22, a lot of question marks everywhere, going to a tough Nebraska team that's also 2-0, although not yet ranked. That game is going to be exciting and fun. Now, a game I actually want to talk about because we have some expertise here in the building, going in and pivoting toward the afternoon games, the 6 o'clock games. I'm going to talk to Elliot first about Mississippi State LSU. LSU opening day loss, another situation where you have a team without a quarterback playing at home. Mississippi State, what can we expect, Logan?
You mean Elliot?
Elliot.
Okay. Well, I think LSU is actually going to. It depends on Miles' state of mind, honestly. Miles has, he is very wistful. He's very emotional. And I think he really commits.
You're talking about head coach Les Miles.
Yes, head coach Les Miles. I think he really commits to players. And it's his good part. It's the reason LSU has more players in the NFL than any other college right now. It's the reason they have more NFL players, but it's the reason they don't win, is because he doesn't know when to cut bait. And Brandon Harris just isn't the guy. Danny Etling came in, the next play had a 62-yard touchdown.
Wow.
Like, let the other guy play and let your offense actually fucking function. Because, like, you can have the best running back in the world, but if the entire world knows that, hey, they're just going to run him four times a day, they're going to run him three times a down anytime, they're not going to ever pass it, they're just going to put 10 in the box and they're not going to do anything.
All right. But you're projecting an LSU win at home.
I think I'm projecting a probably 14-point LSU win.
Love it. Let's talk a little Texas A&M at Auburn. Kevin Sumlin's teams look good. Auburn has already faced a tough test at home against Clemson. Pretty season team. That Jeremy Johnson kid is still the quarterback who has a big arm and looks like he can play the part if he can ever kind of turn a corner as a passer. A&M looking good. Beat UCLA in a close game at home. Also tested. Logan, I think the real question with the Aggies, do you feel like this is a team that's ready to turn the corner and seriously contend for the SEC?
Sure, why not? I definitely think that we can definitely do it. So here's one thing about this particular series. Of the past 4 years where A&M has been in the SEC and A&M has matched up against Auburn, the road team has always won this game. In this particular matchup, A&M is going to be the road team. I think that A&M is in a better spot. We have Trevor Knight as our
starting
quarterback. He's stable. He has a few kind of errant throws every now and then. He's not what I would call like the most dependable quarterback in the world, but he also is a good leader. I like what he has. We have some really good running backs in Keith Ford and Trayvon.
Trayvon Martin.
Martin? No, not that one.
No, too soon. In poor taste.
But these people aren't making jerseys with Trayvon on it.
Oh, my God.
No.
Blue Lives Matter, you guys.
No.
Well, spoons out for Harambe.
I'm not getting into this right now.
Back to the Aggies.
I can't deal with this right now. But also at the same time, we also have one of the best pass rushes in the entire of college football right now. So, I think that we have a good shot. If we win, currently we are a 1.5-point underdog, meaning A&M. But I think that we will most likely win, by 3 points, by a field goal.
It's an odd game because, yeah, like looking at the line, I was like, oh, A&M's actually the underdog in this game. They're ranked, but I mean, they're on the road. But.
Sure. At this point in the season, rankings really don't matter, especially in the SEC because it's all exactly, like, crazy. Right.
I think the big thing is, like you said, it's whether A&M can really, I don't want to say like pop their cherry or get over the hump, but it's more just realize that they deserve to be there. You aren't fucking tourist anymore.
I kind of feel like we've definitely been there ever since we beat Alabama.
It shouldn't be a special thing. Sure. It needs to get to where we're just in the fucking SEC West and we might kick your ass.
Period.
None of this. We should feel really good because we kicked your ass. No, we're gonna fucking bring it and you got to deal with us.
Totally.
It's like Mississippi State knocked on that door. But then got their ass beat every time they knocked on it, so they stopped knocking on that door.
Sure. I'm not going to say that A&M's going to win this game, but I feel pretty good about it.
I tell you the thing, it's just so exciting right now. It's just there's such a high level of competition in college football. I mean, if you look at Texas, I want to see a Texas A&M and fucking Texas game. I wish we were still having that game.
Especially this year.
What would that be a good game?
It could be a good bowl game.
A little Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, what would that be a good game?
Yeah. All right, so two more. I don't want to talk Texas football right now. I'll talk Texas football. You twisted my arm. Texas football.
We try so hard.
You know, it's funny because like last year and stuff, Texas was completely irrelevant, and I'd like find ways to talk about it nonetheless. And now it's like we're really good.
Yeah.
And really well coached, and it's all there. And
not criminals.
I think Texas is not a serious contender this year because it's such a young team that you're probably going to see them blow a game or two. And that brings us to the Texas-Cal game. 9:30 Eastern, late kickoff, primetime showcase for Texas. This is a team that they lost to narrowly last year in very weird fashion. But that was that was a Jared Goff bear raid offense that really clicked and that really moved forward. Same system. I think the real problem is, you know, Shane Bouchel. Now, I've been to both Texas home openers. Texas is 2-0, ranked number 11th in the country. Most recently, I sat next to...
Still overrated, I'm sorry.
I agreed, completely. Sat next to Shane Bouchel's family doctor, I don't want to put him on blast, but he hates Gary Patterson of TCU, and he really, really believes in Shane Bouchel as a player.
It's fair enough.
And what I like, and I think this is going to catch on, so all of Shane Bouchel's family and friends, whenever he has the field, they go, come on, Boo! Let's go, Boo! And I think that's going to be a thing. He's going to be Boo, I think, when it's all said and done.
Is this like family doctor or like doctor who like rebuilt his shoulder?
Family doctor, okay. Like family friends.
Old country doctor, but
yeah, pretty much, yeah, probably.
I think you could win the Big 12 this year.
He wakes up with a seersucker suit on,
but he was a good dude and just hated TCU because he thought that Gary Patterson was dishonest, and he gave me this very personal anecdote that I'm going to share here that. You know,
holy shit, exclusive.
Exclusive. So basically, it comes down to the fact that this guy's kid was a kicker who had offers from Boise State and from, another school. But
TCU?
But that's the thing. So he had Boise State and I believe Nebraska. And Gary Patterson's like, no, you're my guy. And so he said yes to Gary Patterson, said no to Boise State and Nebraska. And then Gary Patterson didn't give him any paperwork after saying, my word is gold, and just totally flipped on him, didn't give him a scholarship, and then the kid couldn't go to Nebraska or Boise State, so he had to go to Wake Forest like an idiot. Oh.
It's a weird kind of roundabout way to burn Wake Forest, I think.
No, that's bullshit.
It is bullshit. It's really gross. However, probably not that surprising, you know, and if you start throwing stones, I'm sure a lot of college coaches do that where they have – They promise the world and then they don't deliver. It just kind of sucks. But anyway, so Texas-Cal, I think that Texas should be too much for Cal, too much. The defense should be able to – I'm looking for 2 to 3 turnovers. I think that wins them the game pretty easily. The danger, though, is you have a very young team that could very easily slip, fall, and wind up in a shootout. And you could get into the situation where Shane Bouchel has to, like, make the throws deep. And you've seen players like John Burt and some of the Texas playmakers who are kind of butterfingered and are still kind of finding their footing. And next thing you know, you could be looking at 2nd and 20. Mm-hmm. And what you saw in both games now is over 100 yards of penalties. So you could really see Texas a lot of – I think what can really hurt Texas in this is holding calls, right? Mm-hmm. Is like it's 1st down and 20 and the Cal team's into it. But I expect Texas to win by 7 to 10 points. All right, let's talk about the games that are actually like – I don't know. Very exciting, and I can't wait to watch. Michigan State, Notre Dame, number 12 against number 18. I think this is really a question of, like, is Notre Dame good enough to sustain an early loss and make a run? Michigan State is probably the most consistent team in the country. Always overachieve, always good. I like Michigan State on the road here. They are Notre Dame is actually an 8-point favorite, but I like Michigan State close, late. I'm going to go Notre Dame 27, Michigan State 29. I think it'll get a little high scoring. This one, though, I cannot wait to watch this game because you have Ohio State, a team that is riding JT Barrett, no more quarterback controversy, top-tier talent, one of the best teams. They have to go to Norman and play another Heisman Trophy candidate. What's that fucker's name? Baker Mayfield. There it is, right?
Trevor Knight.
Ohio State's only 1.5-point favorite on the road. So, who do you gentlemen have, and does anybody have anything actually to say? Like, what does your gut tell you is going to happen?
It's Ohio State.
Yeah, I have Ohio State in somewhat of a blowout.
Yeah. They've looked impressive up to date. Oklahoma, I haven't been impressed with anything ever since they lost to Houston, so.
I mean, before we wrap up, can we talk about the bullshit that was ESPN's fantasy football app going down the first fucking Sunday?
I feel like that happened last year. I think it's just kind of I don't know that there's a way to really prepare for that kind of.
Actually, I do now.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been researching hosting for 2 months.
All right.
There is a way. It's called you bill for that capacity. I can tell you why it's crashing. They don't want to pay for the capacity, so they allow it to crash because they know it's going to be really busy on the first Sunday. So they say, fuck it. If it crashes, it crashes.
Yeah.
And then they just pay what they need to pay. So it's fucking cheap.
It's also because it's not going to be ever as high as it is on the first day.
Speaking of, I guess, football, we should talk about football really quickly. Let's talk a little fantasy football. So for those that don't know, Ramon Ramirez's team really put the hurting and the, it just I put the hurting and the squirting on Logan's team.
Ew.
And it was bad. I mean, that's really all I can say. God damn it. God damn it. I just looked at this. Brandon Marshall is... Okay, never mind. He looks okay. He looks all right.
I don't know if he was knocked out of the game or not, but...
What? He was knocked out of the game?
That's what I thought you were looking at.
I just see 3 catches for 73 yards.
Oh, he must have come back, because I saw him have two... I saw an alert saying he was out of the game, but he had 2 catches. If he has 3 catches now, then he came back.
Thank God. This is terrible radio. I'm sorry that you guys have to... We made the mistake of looking at our phones and looking at the stats, and I'm very sorry, but... I'm going to also just very briefly just check the okay, so that makes sense.
Well, while Ramon's looking at that, I'm going to say something that I don't think is anybody can argue with.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick fucking won. Tell me how he didn't do what he wanted to do.
How about, it sounds like, so you don't respect our veterans.
I got a question. When people say that shit, which veterans are we talking about?
Ooh.
Are we talking about the ones who served in World War II in Korea and came back and didn't have the same rights? Because, But here's the thing that's the problem with this. That's the problem with a lot of what people think about our history. They are living in this fucking fantasy world where everything has been great all the fucking time. And they just cannot stand when somebody knocks them out of that fucking fantasy.
Look,
and
especially... I'll put the chips down. Can you put the radio on?
Yeah.
All right.
And especially because, you know, they probably look at it like, Sunday, I don't have to deal with this shit.
Did you not see the meme that was shared by We Support Donald Trump, the Facebook group, where you had a Marine doing this, and it was like,
oh, yeah,
this Marine can stand for the flag. Why can't Colin Kaepernick?
It was the Marine who had no legs.
It was the Marine who had no legs, but he, like, propped himself up in his chair. It was powerful stuff, man. I'll tell you what. You better have some respect for the troops when you come into my house.
Stop eating. Stop eating this chip.
Okay, which troops are we talking about? Are we talking about the ones who fought for the Confederacy? Like, which troops?
I'm talking about the brave men and women that protect our freedoms so that you can say what you want to say.
So let me get this straight. It's a circular argument, so I gotta be thankful for them protecting my freedom, but I shouldn't exercise said freedom.
Yes.
Okay.
No, what you should do, there's a time and a place.
Okay.
There's a time and a place for protest, sir. Okay?
But that's the nature of protest.
And you know what?
There's a time and place.
I've had it with Colin Kaepernick. I've had it with all these prima donna athletes. Where's your solutions, man? Where's your solutions?
How about cops stop killing people?
Oh, really?
That's my solution.
So that's actually a thing that's happening in the country then?
Yeah, there's my friend Ramon. He keeps on posting it on Facebook.
It's in case I missed it. Not. I tell you what. You know what? Let's have respect for the troops. Let's have respect for the flag.
Uh-huh.
Let's have respect for the anthem. And Donald Trump 2016.
I'll say this. Black people have so much respect for the government, we fucking built the White House. How about that?
You can't claim credit for that. That wasn't you did that.
Yeah, against, we can.
You did that against your will.
So let me get it straight.
But they were well fed when they did it.
Yeah. Fucking O'Reilly.
I feel like at this point we should probably start wrapping things up.
So JC, what is your can't miss bet of the weekend?
Pivoting.
By the way, I just want to be very clear. Let's talk cap for half a second. When it first started, I thought, man, I don't know if my concern was, does this guy know what the fuck he's talking about? Is he just making, is he going to embarrass himself and neuter the cause?
Mm-hmm.
I think what's very obvious is that he does. It's that it's very thoughtful. It's very well thought out. You know, the fucking NFL didn't even stand for the national anthem until the military paid them to do it. you can be patriotic in many different ways. And I think anyone who's reasonable at this point gets it. Like when it first happened, I thought it was very reasonable for people who love the military to think, man, that's really disrespectful. But at this point, it's been like 4 weeks, maybe a month. Like, dude is protesting. It's not hurting anything. It's not dividing the locker room. That's a good thing. Who cares?
It's actually now, starting up.
You know what's a bad thing was that pointless Seattle Seahawks thing where they all like locked arms.
Right.
That was that made absolutely no fucking sense, and it was deplorable.
That type of shit actually takes fucking away.
Yeah. That all lives matter bullshit. Because like this.
So the biggest, and I rarely weigh in on these things, but the biggest problem that I have with this was whenever the San Francisco Police Department chief said that he was not going to sign up to protect like guard the games because. Right. Because of the Kaepernick solution, that's exactly what Kaepernick is protesting against. It's whenever the police get to choose who they protect, as opposed to just protect the citizens.
But that's why
it's such a huge fucking deal. They're like, you know, that's deplorable by the police department.
It's a behavior in the basket of deplorables.
I have cops in my family, and I absolutely love the cops. But oh my god, if you're saying I'm not going to support you because you're just doing this thing that I don't agree with, then fuck you. You're not a real peace officer.
Well, it's like I am mad at you because you want me to be accountable.
Yeah.
There was a guy in West Virginia who was fired for not killing somebody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For not killing an unarmed person. It's like you didn't eliminate the threat. Oh, I'm sorry. That was an ex-Marine that actually had a that's somebody you should want on the force, somebody who thinks about this shit before they just shoot somebody. Like, I think there was another kid who was shot for having a BB gun. Mm. And it's like, God, just, I would think, I've never been a cop, but I would think, I mean, I've never been a cop, but just follow me here. Working at a fucking movie theater, the first thing they teach you is, hey, turn the volume down on that situation. Mm-hmm. Don't bring more heat into that situation than you need to if somebody's fighting.
Do you know why police officers wear blue? Mm. Because back in the day when they started the police, they're like, okay, well, we got the redcoats in the British Army. They're the army. So we need someone who isn't going to scare people and show up with guns and ready for war. We need people who are going to show up and, like, keep the peace and, like, you know, basically, like, help keep order without being this military branch. And so they're like, okay, well, we should distinguish them so that people don't freak out. So we'll just make them wear blue. And now the police are basically trained soldiers who have to go into impoverished communities, and it creates a situation
like
where
an occupying army,
where both sides see each other as an enemy, and it's a real shame. And you saw literally, like, you saw the Ferguson police. You know, one of the things that got them in trouble was, like, internally they were describing African Americans as, like, the enemy, as like the perps and stuff. And so that's a systemic issue. And what sucks is that, you know, there was this really interesting study that said that conservative people love individuals and hate classes. Like, not hate, but they love people, and they're good with people, and they believe in people one-on-one. But then when they think big picture, sometimes, like, they take offense. And liberals are the inverse. They can be very grouchy and, like, bad with people, but they love the idea of classes and big picture thinking. And so sometimes they clash about that. But the point is, like, you know, a really good friend of mine, another friend named Jenny, her husband is a cop, and she really feels like I'm attacking her family personally whenever I type something on Facebook about police.
Yeah.
And I've had to literally talk to her personally and be like, I love Michael. I love your family. I'm not talking about you. I'm pointing out things that happen. And so what you're seeing, though, because Facebook is a big equalizer and a big echo chamber, is there's constantly, I mean, tonight we had a horrible story where an unhinged person with a meat cleaver was attacking police in New York City near Penn Station. So you post that story, and that weird story that happens, although it's happening more lately, maybe once a month, coupled with the fact that literally four times a week, the police kill someone where they probably, if they could do a do-over, they probably wouldn't do that.
Well,
you know?
Sandra Bland's family got a $1.9 million settlement.
Yeah.
Like,
anyway, all right, so let's wrap. We just got the wrap-up light. We're talking Sandra Bland. All right, JC, your can't miss bet of the weekend.
I like big underdogs. So this week I like, and I don't think the Niners did all that bad week one. So the Niners are 13.5-point underdogs against the Panthers. So I like the points, and I'll take the Niners.
Love it.
To cover, not to win, but yeah.
That's pretty damn good. I'm sorry for the chips, Logan. I'm sorry. You have to edit this later. I'm sorry, man. All right, that's the last chip I'm going to eat. I love that surefire bet of the game. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Go team.
Team.
Later.
Shit, I'm sorry, man. That was good.